Do we have a tree in our yard which still has some of its leaves? I don't know about you, but sometimes I see a tree and there is still a leaf or two up there, and I'm thinking, regardless of time, regardless of temperature, that tree will not drop its leaf. If you go back and you look at David in the Old Testament, we're going to be turning to 1 Samuel chapter 18 here in just a bit. You find that in many respects, and 1 Samuel 18 does a great job of illustrating this, he was like a leaf which would not drop from a tree. I want to look at some things from David's life and draw some parallels to the Christian life, and we begin with 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 2. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. David comes in to Saul's inner circle. And after he does that, the Bible says that he was not allowed. He was prohibited from going back home. A lot of young people want to go back home. Maybe they go off to college. Maybe they go to work in a distant place. And there comes a time where they want to go back and they want to see mom and or dad. David likely had that desire to go back home as well. But whatever desire he had to return home, it had to be stifled. Saul didn't permit that. Now, had David been like some other young people, he might have reasoned, that's not going to work for me. I'm not willing to do that. Just send me back home permanently if that's the deal. That's not what David chose. David was willing to bear that consequence. He was like that stubborn leaf on a tree. He was going to stick it out. What about us as a Christian? Is being a Christian, is being a child of God so important to us that we refuse to go back to someone or something? Think about the person who is an alcoholic and they become a Christian. Is the gospel important enough to that individual to say, I will never go back to booze? I've severed my ties with it and I'm done with it for good. Or what about the person who's involved with fornication? And that would include pornography. Would the person say, Christ is so important to me that I will never go back to sexual immorality? Is Jesus important for us to the point where we would leave behind a long list of bad vocabulary words, curse words? Most of the world ends up being like the majority of leaves on the tree. They end up being separated. In the spiritual realm, that means separation from Christ. As we think about being a leaf, what kind of spiritual leaf are we? On the tree or off the tree? As you look down through 1 Samuel chapter 18, you find this information in verse 11. And Saul cast a spear, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall. And David avoided out of his presence twice. Now you might think that Saul would have treated David very, very well because of what David did for him. But in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 11, we find that that is simply not true. David was willing to leave his home. David was willing to not go back and see his family. And this is how Saul treated him. Saul tried to personally end David's life on more than one occasion. I don't know about you, but when I find people who are mistreated by someone, generally they don't want to see very much of that person. They try to avoid that person. They don't want to talk to that person. They don't want to think about that particular person because that individual injured them. Offering help to someone who was responsible for some type of stress or trouble is often unthinkable in the minds of many. But you know, as you look at David, you come back to this image of he's like that leaf on the tree. Even after Saul tries to end his life on two occasions, he is not willing to separate himself from this guy. If we're a Christian, have we ever considered what it would take for us to leave the faith? What would someone need to do or say to us for us to leave the faith? If we think about it in terms of insults, how many times would you need to be insulted by somebody before you say, that's enough for me when it comes to the Christian life? How bad would the insult need to be before we toss in the towel? How hurtful would a remark need to be before we left the church? Or if we think about persecution, what level of persecution would need to exist before we would say, I'm not going to stick with it anymore? I've been a Christian for a long time. I put up with enough. I've suffered enough. My family has suffered enough. And we've been hurt enough. The persecution has to end. And we will forsake Christ. Or if we look at it from the standpoint of the government, how much would the government need to take from us before we would renounce Christ? If the government said, renounce Christ, we're going to take your car, would we give up the vehicle or would we give up Christ? What if the government said, we're going to take your home for being a Christian? Or what if the government said, we're going to put you in prison because you are a child of God? How many days? How many weeks? How many months? How many years? How many decades would we be willing to serve in prison before we renounced Christ and denied him? Well, in America, we generally, thankfully, don't have to deal with these kinds of questions. But we still find in a number of instances where there are Christians who are like the leaves which fall from the tree. Something is said, perhaps once. Something is done, perhaps once. And a Christian took offense. It was because of that offense that the Christian said, I'm not coming back. I'm done. And true to their word, they left and never returned. If we choose to be like the leaf which remains on the tree, there's a great blessing. We know that again from 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel 18, 12 says, and Saul was afraid of David. And here's the key point. He was afraid because Jehovah was with him. A common idea in the world when it comes to religion is if you are a spiritual person, if you are a religious person, God wants you to have the best possible life and you're never going to suffer. You're going to have few, if any, problems. That's not what we find in Scripture. That idea is totally wrong. Some of God's best people have suffered the most, Job being a classic example. When it comes to God, a lot of people want God to be with them. If that's really what we want, if that's really what we seek, then we find some information about that in 1 Samuel chapter 18. This chapter tells us how to make that happen. Being like the leaf, which refuses to leave the tree, that is faithfulness regardless of the cost. That's the way to find God's favor. When you think about leaves on trees that stay, they get battered. You think about all the things that they endure. There are freezing temperatures. You think about the storms which shake those leaves. Perhaps as branches come crashing down, they smash into the leaf, and yet in spite of all the things that they endure, we can still, and there's a scientific name for it, but we still see that as you go out and you look at those leaves, it is still there. It's still clinging to the tree. Moving down a little bit more. David got a promotion. 1 Samuel 18 and verse 13. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. A lot of times, people are thrilled at getting a promotion. They've worked for it, they've waited for it, perhaps they've asked for it. Promotions may mean better pay, they may mean better hours, better benefits. But you know when you get a promotion, sometimes it comes with some hazards. That was true for David. Because David received this promotion, he received more exposure to combat. Saul hoped David's promotion would result in the death of this young man. David experienced a big change in circumstances, and yet even though his circumstances changed, he decided that he was still going to be like that leaf that clung to a tree. If we are a Christian for very long, we're going to experience some changes in our circumstances. We might start out as a single person. And a day comes where we find someone that we like and we take that liking the person to the next level and we say, I love you. And the person marries. Marriage brings about some changes. Most people, in fact, I've never met an exception to this, but most people as they think about marriage, they think that that's going to change their life in a positive way. As we look at our world, though, we know that that's not always true. We find that sometimes people have gotten married and those marriages have brought some unfavorable changes. Marriage, that very act, has caused some Christians to be like a leaf which falls from a tree. If you are someone who is considering marriage, or you get to the point in life where you are considering marriage or maybe a remarriage, the number one consideration for you as a Christian should be, how will my prospective marriage partner affect me when it comes to the Christian life? If my prospective marriage partner is going to perhaps put me into a situation where I will be like a leaf which is on the tree, and because of the marriage, I end off the tree. Run from that relationship. Don't walk. Don't proceed with the marriage. There is no person on the planet, and this is always true, there's no exception to it. There is no person on the planet who is worth our eternal spirit. No matter how charming, no matter how pretty, no matter how handsome, no matter how rich, no matter whatever a person is, eternity in hell is too high of a price to pay. When we see leaves survive the winter, I don't know about you, but I do look at them from time to time and usually want to take out the garbage, I guess. We've got one that just seems to hang on. As I do that, I think that's not a really attractive leaf. Sure, it's hanging on the tree. Yes, it's got a lot of fortitude to stay there. But you know, David kind of saw himself in the same way. Moving down just a little bit more, David said unto Saul, who am I? And what is my life or my father's family in Israel that I should be son-in-law to the king? If we think about the Christian life as we're looking at it today as a life which is reflected by leaves on trees, we need to realize that at some point we're not going to be the prettiest leaf on the tree. We're probably not going to be the top leaf on the tree either. Some of God's people, as you look at them, they are like a crinkled leaf. Their body is aged. It's old. They can go back and they can look at some pictures and say, oh, years ago, maybe decades ago, I had a full head of hair. And it was this color. But now as I look at my hair, it's no longer a full head of hair. I have a few strands. The hair, which used to be dark, it's now gray or white. And instead of thick, it's thin. Bodies, which used to be strong, are now bowed. Minds which were formerly sharp are now as dull as a butter knife. 20/20 vision is gone. Bodies that never required medication now require a box full of pills each day. And yet we can be like the leaf on the tree. In spite of all the changes, and there are often many, we can still be like that leaf which refuses to leave the tree. Others do leave. And sometimes they leave for insignificant or petty reasons. Maybe they grew weary. But some of the greatest people in heaven will be those who are the least esteemed in life. Moving down a little bit more in this chapter, we find a broken promise. And it's in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 19. Saul said to David, "You can marry my daughter." Can you imagine that? Here's this guy who says, basically, "I am nothing. You brought me into the inner circle. You've made something of me, even though I can't go home. And now the king is telling me that I can marry his daughter." Well, the king did say that. But the Bible says that this was a lie. Marrying the king's daughter, especially as you look at David, it was no small thing. Now, I suspect that when the marriage didn't happen, David was disappointed. Can you imagine what David thought when he heard that news? You're going to marry the king's daughter. And then when it didn't happen, how disappointed he must be. Disappointment hurts. And disappointment has destroyed a lot of people. When people are disappointed, they can respond in a very strong way. Think, for example, about the number of restaurants that have lost customers. Perhaps a person went to a restaurant for the first time. The food or the service, it was a big disappointment, and the attitude was, "We're not going back. We were treated in this way, the food was cold, the food was bad, the food was whatever, and that was the first and the last time." Others may have eaten at a restaurant several times, and generally speaking, the food has been good. The customer service has always been great. But one day, on that one occasion, it's not good. And because of that one time, the conversation, at least part of the conversation at the meal table, is, should we come back? Disappointment is a huge factor in our lives. We get disappointed with people, we get disappointed with places, and we get disappointed with events. If a Christian is not careful, we can take that disappointment that we experience and that we react to in the world, and we can bring that into the church. We can develop the mindset of a Christian which says, "I deserve to always be happy and satisfied." If that's our attitude when it comes to the Christian life, we're probably not going to last for very long. If we're going to be a Christian, we're going to face some disappointments along the way. And one of those disappointments is probably going to be in the area of prayer. Have you ever prayed for something? And I don't mean just, "Oh, God, please help me," or "God, this or that." I mean, have you really prayed for something? You prayed for a long time. You prayed hard, and you prayed in faith. And yet, for whatever reason, as things began to evolve, and finally it was evident that an answer to the prayer materialized, and the answer was no. Can you think back to that occasion and remember probably how disappointed you were? Because some people have received a no to prayer. They have said, "We're not going to be like the leaf, which stays on the tree." Other people have been disappointed with the local congregation, and they've said, "We're leaving. We're done. No more." What some have failed to realize when it comes to the area of disappointment is that disappointments can actually be a test. Someone says, "Well, how do you know that? Does the Bible really say that?" Think about John chapter 11. You remember Jesus talked about Lazarus? Jesus could have come to Lazarus when he was sick, that is, prior to his death, but he didn't do that. Jesus specifically waited. Jesus not only waited in John chapter 11, he waited to the point where Lazarus had died. He showed up, and there were his friends. They were disappointed. "Lord, why didn't you come earlier?" He's gone. Jesus' friends passed the test. They were disappointed, that's true, but they didn't give up. They continued to cling to the tree. And Jesus replaced their disappointment with joy. When we suffer a disappointment in life, and this is especially true when it comes to the spiritual realm, how are we going to act to it? How are we going to react to it? Will we be like the leaf on the slide? Some will perhaps withstand a certain degree of disappointment when it comes to the Christian faith, but others will reason, "I've had enough. I tried it, and it didn't work." Moving on a little bit more, 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 21. And Saul said, "I will give him," that's David, "her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law a second time." Oh, that first time didn't work out too well for David. So Saul said, "We're going to take this again. We're going to try it again. David, you can marry this daughter instead." Well, Saul still wanted to get David killed in battle. First time didn't work out too well, so he comes up with another opportunity. As you think about the Christian life, most would like a life which is peaceful and easy. That's just a natural human tendency, especially if we live in America. But the devil doesn't want that. Satan has never wanted that for people. Satan would like us to go from one challenge to the next and be tested in such a way where we decide to leave the tree. We know that because of what we see in the life of Christ. Have you ever looked at Jesus' life in the terms of one disaster after another? That's what Jesus faced. If the average Jew was not hounding him for something, then as we look at the Lord's life, we find that there were people who wanted him to answer questions, and sometimes just one right after the other. Then we have the religious leaders there after Jesus. They're denouncing him or the apostles. And speaking of the apostles, they often required attention. Whatever comes up in life, the question is always going to be the same for the Christian. Were we like the leaf that stayed on the tree, or were we like the leaves that fell off? Were we, as John said in Revelation 2:10, as we heard from our scripture reading, are you going to be faithful to God, even to the point of death? When we look at 1 Samuel chapter 18, we find that there was an escalation in the feelings that Saul had towards David. 1 Samuel 18:29, and Saul was yet the more afraid of David. And here's the key part. Saul was David's enemy continually. Day after day, month after month, Saul, the king, was David's enemy. David's faith was challenged. David's life was not easy. But in spite of all that, David refused to waver. If we're going to live the Christian life, we're going to have some hard times. We're going to face some very difficult times. We might, as we think about the secular work world, we might work in a place which has a very anti-God environment. From our peers, to the people who are beneath us, to the people who are over us, the bosses. Talked to a man about 3 months ago about some spiritual things. He said, oh no. He said, you don't know my boss. No, I don't. But from that statement, I have a pretty good idea about the guy that you're working for. We might go to a school at any time in life, younger years, later years, which is filled with godless people and godless activities. We might not have any friends, or we might not have many friends. But whatever our lot in life, and whatever our age as a Christian, it again still comes down to one simple question. Are we going to be like the leaf which refuses to leave the tree? There are 30 verses in 1 Samuel chapter 18. And as we get down to the last verse, we have a very high compliment being paid to David. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass, as often as they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. Oh, Saul didn't like David. Saul was David's enemy all the time. But when it came to others, they put stock in David's name. They thought highly of this young man. If we are a Christian, regardless of how others see us, regardless of how others treat us, 1 Samuel 18 and verse 30 has a practical lesson for us, tying it into what Jesus said in Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but Jesus says you find joy in this, that your names are written in heaven. Your names are written in heaven. God knows who's going to be saved and who's going to be lost. That's not something that he predetermined. He simply knows the choices that people are going to make. God knows who's going to be like a leaf which refuses to leave the tree and the leaves which stay. Our world is full of fallen leaves. Some of those fallen leaves are people who could have become Christians and they've not. More of those fallen leaves are going to be people who have been members of the church and left. If we compared the spiritual part of our life to a leaf, what would it be like? Where would it be? On the ground, with a clutter of other leaves, or would it be on the tree? In other words, are we spiritually dead, or are we spiritually alive? Someone says, well, I'm kind of in the middle. I feel like that leaf, but I feel battered. If you knew about my spiritual life right now, you'd know that I'm barely hanging on. Well, that can be true. And you sometimes get that impression as you look at that leaf. How do you stay there when all the other leaves have fallen? Temperatures, wind, rain, sleet, snow. But sometimes even if we're that leaf that's still just barely hanging on, we're still connected to Christ. And that's what counts. As we think about the invitation song, think about what we're seeing on the slide. Two choices. And Jesus often made that point. You can go this way, or you can go this way. Are we like the leaf on the tree, or one of the many on the ground? It's our choice. If we're one on the ground and we know that we need spiritual help, the Bible offers that. People here are willing to extend assistance to you. We simply need to ask God or ask our fellow brethren. Which type of leaf are we as we stand and sing?